With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. People looking for good news to celebrate found it over the weekend in Rapid City. Construction workers attached the final piece of steel onto a new arena. SDPB's Seth Tupper was there.
Summit Arena isn't finished yet. Workers still have to complete the interior of the 11,000-seat structure. But Saturday's ceremony marked the completion of the building's steel frame. A small crowd looked up into a sunny sky while a giant crane hoisted the last beam into place. The project has been years in the making. Local voters rejected an arena plan in 2015. Rapid City Mayor Steve Allender was elected several months later and decided to try again. Voters approved an arena plan in 2018. Construction of the $130 million facility began a few months before the pandemic. Mayor Allender says the facility will open in September.
There's been just so much bad news over the last year that this is really just a good turning point. I think this is really our new year.
The new arena is in the parking lot next to the old arena, which was built in the 1970s. That structure lacks handicap accessibility and has a ceiling too short for the light shows and other theatrics of many modern concerts. The city will keep the old arena as overflow space for the adjacent convention center and new facility. The headliner for the 1977 grand opening of the old arena was the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley. With a nod to that history, arena officials chose an appropriate song to burst through the speakers at the end of Saturday's ceremony. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper in Rapid City.
An economic development organization on the Cheyenne River Reservation is now a lender for federal agriculture loans. The Four Bands Community Fund will make money available to Native American farmers and ranchers. SDPB's David Ozzedy Scott has more.
Loans from the Federal Farm Service Agency provide guaranteed status that lowers the risk for the lender and opens up more capital. Lakota Vogel is the executive director of the Four Bands Community Fund. Vogel says the financial nonprofit has worked on development opportunities for two decades, but just recently started focusing on the agriculture sector. She says leveraging the trust land on reservations can make it hard to secure money.
There's lots of issues when you've got all the bureaucracies at play, I guess, with the BIA managing a lot of the land, because there's appraisal processes that have to be followed when it's trust land, and it can take up to 2 years sometimes to get the proper appraisal for a conventional institution, which then inhibits the producer from getting access to capital.
Vogel says they have the same delays as conventional institutions, but can wait longer for a return on their investments. Kristen Stamba is director of lending for the organization. She says delays can cause major problems for Native American producers.
One of the biggest barriers for capital is not being able to use your largest asset, your land, to get financing. And we are seeing more and more lenders accept trust land. But if a producer is needing it fast, then that can be an issue.
Stamba says the Farm Service Agency helps with higher risk loans by guaranteeing 90% of the amount, allowing more flexibility. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm David Ozzedy Scott in Rapid City.
The National Park Service has denied South Dakota officials' request to launch fireworks at Mount Rushmore this year. National Park Service Regional Director Herbert Frost denied the state's request, saying the Park Service is concerned about risks to the park and employees after a fireworks show at the monument last July during a campaign appearance by then-President Donald Trump. Frost also says the service's tribal partners expressly oppose fireworks at Mount Rushmore. They say large crowds the event would draw would make social distancing difficult, if not impossible. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld the conviction of Timothy Burns, one of two men who defrauded investors in a proposed fish and hydroponic vegetables farm near Brookings. At oral arguments in October, the U.S. attorney laid out a daring scheme that started in 2016. Victoria Wicks has this report for SDPB.
At oral arguments, U.S. Attorney Ron Parsons says Timothy Burns hired two salesmen to pitch global aquaponics and South Dakota food security to potential backers. And so the salesmen conducted angel investor meetings and relayed what they had been told. $5.6 million had been raised, the land had been secured, and contracts had been signed with distributors to sell fish and produce.
They told people we already own the land. They had a groundbreaking. State Attorney General was there with a shovel. They didn't even own the land. That was a lie.
When the salesman grew suspicious and demanded documentation, Burns falsified an email claiming there was $1.5 million in cash on hand, more than $2 million paid toward the greenhouse structure, and almost $2 million paid for equipment. Burns wrote in the email that he was looking at a balance sheet while writing. Parsons tells Eighth Circuit judges that Burns testified at his trial that he knew he was lying when he wrote the email because he didn't know what the financial situation was, but he relied on information given to him by his co-conspirator.
He says, well, I assumed that we did have this $5.6 million. That was his testimony. He said, I thought we had it. So he either knew they didn't have it and created those lies to satisfy the investors and the salesmen, or he said, I don't want to know if we have it or not, so I'm going to create these lies to satisfy the investors and the salesmen.
In its opinion, the Eighth Circuit says the U.S. attorney had more than enough evidence to convict Burns of wire fraud. The Eighth Circuit says Burns was Global Aquaponics Chief Operating Officer and General Contractor. He managed day-to-day operations and had access to the accounts. At best, Burns knew facts existed and deliberately avoided learning them. At worst, he was a full partner in the fraud. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
The state may impose new restrictions for hunters disposing of deer and elk carcasses. Hunters would need to put the remains in a garbage container or drop them at a permitted landfill. The Game Fish and Parks Commission is considering the requirement to prevent the spread of chronic wasting disease. The disease is fatal for deer, elk, and moose. Wildlife Program Administrator Chad Switzer says the new rule would apply to any animal killed in the state, regardless of whether it comes from a county with chronic wasting disease or CWD.
We want to implement regulations that are proactive versus right now we're being very reactive to our regulations to reduce the spread of CWD. As new areas become detected or confirmed with CWD, we are constantly have changing expectations on our hunters the way our rules are currently written.
Switzer says the rule also applies to taxidermists and meat processors. The GFP Commission wants public comment on the proposal before its April meeting. People can submit written statements online at gfp.sd.gov. That's your daily news update. Follow SDPB News on social and visit sdpb.org/news to keep up with our journalism as it comes in. Thank you for listening.